97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Happy Monday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Beautiful day outside. We've had some exceptional weather here lately, haven't we? I'm glad you are hanging out with us this afternoon, maybe on your lunch break, whatever it might be. We appreciate you being here. We're going to talk about the McDonald's thing pretty much throughout the course of the show. So if you want to get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel right now and vote to let us know how you feel about it. The question today is, do you approve of Trump's McDonald's stop? I've seen a lot of people online, mostly people being retweeted, that are like, this is a campaign stop. This is something that is not, it wasn't real. It was staged, blah, blah, blah. What do you think about that? Do you like it? Before we get to talking about that, we had Donald Trump in North Carolina, and he was speaking with people there in the midst of the recovery. And this is one of the individuals, Mike Stewart, who was talking at this particular
event. We had a business right across the street, like with the Swannanoa River flowing on the backside of it, and we lost everything. We had 70 plus buildings. We drove here 2 days later, and there wasn't one building that was ours, but there were houses and trailers and tankers and all sorts of things that were strewn across our property. And we lost a business, but there are a lot of people who lost everything, including loved ones. And I believe that you can serve as a great inspiration to this community right now. And the reason being is, I think God's given you an indomitable spirit. And no matter what gets thrown at you, you find a way to press through. And I think that'll serve as an inspiration to this community to press on and move forward. I can't think of anything I'd rather have than a warrior leading our country, a warrior who, with the help of God and with faith and prayer, will lead this community, these communities, and this country to greatness. So thank you for being here today.
I was listening to that as it was taking place just within the last hour, and I was really touched by the emotions you could hear in this man's heart and the way he was talking about the devastation. And, you know, just I can't imagine what it's like to see the devastation that these people are seeing to their livelihoods, to their homes, the loss of life. President Trump, and I've heard other people talking about this, but like families washed away, grandparents who have passed away with their grandchildren. I mean, this is just unfathomable tragedy taking place there. So what these individuals are going through in North Carolina is so much bigger than like, oh, send some money to a GoFundMe. That absolutely helps, and you should certainly do that. But at the same time, there are things that will not be able to be rebuilt in North Carolina. The hurt and the struggle is massive. Donald Trump came out initially for a quick hit with Samaritan's Purse, and is it Franklin Graham who he went out with? And they, you know, brought the resources of that organization into North Carolina. Donald Trump accompanied them right after it happened. But he was back out there today to do more. He said that the GoFundMe that they set up in North Carolina raised $8 million. And I think he said $7 million of it had been dispersed. And Donald Trump said at this press conference, you know, we've got some money left here. I'd be interested in input on where that money should be sent. It's very, very difficult to see the things that these individuals are having to deal with, the burden that is on these individuals. Like you see at these press conferences, they end up being folks that are going to have to really lead their communities on the ground into whatever this area, Swannanoa County, whatever this area is going to look like in the future. These are the people who are going to be responsible for it. There's so much pain that exists in that. And it was very clear to me that when Donald Trump showed up, he did provide these people some semblance of hope by his presence being there. They thanked him repeatedly for showing up and making sure that this area was not forgotten. As time moves on and the headlines change, that those people aren't forgotten. And they thanked Donald Trump for showing up. The reason why I wanted to pull that clip from this small business owner in North Carolina, Mike Stewart, is because he said what he said. Donald Trump thanked him, was very grateful for the things that he was said. And then Stewart kind of interjects himself back into the conversation quickly. And he does it in a way that It almost feels like he knows he's being bold by doing so.
If you don't mind, just because my heart's about to be, do you mind if I pray for you?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, and all those that you that are prayers, would you join with me in this prayer? Father, I thank you for this man that you have raised up in this moment, in this season, for your purposes. And I pray that you would anoint him, that things aren't done just by might or by power, but by your spirit. So I ask that you would anoint President Donald Trump and give him a spirit of wisdom and understanding and insight as he moves to lead this nation back to greatness. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Bless you.
You hear Donald Trump's, in the background. I thought that was a pretty amazing moment. And it felt, listening to it live, because Trump was going through one person after the other, politicians, business owners, the sheriff, all of these people who are coming up and getting a chance to say something, or Donald Trump would say something quick about him. When Stewart went up there and he asked for an extra moment to, may I pray for you? And Trump said, absolutely, to let him have the stage for a little bit longer, or the microphone, I should say. That's an amazing witness. And I find it refreshing to see that this is where people are taking it, especially the people in the midst of a great tragedy. In North Carolina, understanding the gravity of the situation right now, it's completely non-political. They'll take help from Democrats. They'll take help from Republicans. They'll take help from the last two undecided voters that exist in this country. They'll take help from anybody. But they understand the benefit of a Donald Trump presidency, and they are praying for him. And I found that to be very refreshing. This was today, and yesterday, one of the most, I would say, potentially ridiculous, but also amazing things happened on the campaign trail. And it was really wild to see. So I was sitting on Twitter, got done with church, had family over for brunch, finally got the opportunity to sit down in my living room. And I opened Twitter, and I always just peek at Twitter to be like, is the world on fire? Just want to check. Just check it in. And I see the McDonald's tweets are coming in. Trump at McDonald's. So I open the YouTube app on my television, and the first thing I see up there is the full video, unedited, of Donald Trump being at McDonald's. So we watched it from the very beginning, and it was absolutely wild.
Tell you what, it's a great franchise, it's a great company, and they've been very, very nice. And if you look at really what's happening, look at the crowd over there, look how happy everybody is. Because they want hope. They need hope. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're going to give much more than hope.
What is Working the Fryer telling you about the people of Pennsylvania?
Mr. President, you actually have worked at McDonald's now versus...
Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala.
Are you going to put this on your resume?
I never worked here.
Why would she lie about something like that? Will it be put on your resume?
Worked at McDonald's.
Why would she lie about that?
Why? Because she's lying, Kamala.
This is lying. What does Working the Fryer mean for the people of Pennsylvania? What? Oh, man. If you could just have clips. A year ago, before we knew who the nominees were going to be, if it's Joe Biden and a slew of Republicans who want to be the president of the United States, and then you just get this window into 15 days away from the end of this campaign. What does Working the Fryer mean for the people of Pennsylvania? That's, you'd be like, what? How do we get there?
That's the craziest part, is that the election is 2 weeks away.
Yes.
That's the part that you don't think about. The best part of this, though, was when someone asked him if he was going to put this on his resume, and he just goes, McDonald's worker. So funny.
The YouTube amazing poll for today, if you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can see the... question is located, as it is each day, but sometimes people don't. If maybe you're coming for the first time, whatever. You can see where we have the poll up. It's in the live chat portion. So you find the live broadcast of what we're doing right now. Hello to those who are watching. And all you got to do is click on the live chat, and you'll see we're right there. And the question is, do you approve of Trump's McDonald's stop? When I walked into the building today, and I walked just hadn't even gotten to the studio yet. And I hear, good or bad, it was amazing. Not to scoop Ethan, but my understanding, Ethan, is that your vote in this poll will be you approve.
Yeah, of course. I mean, how could this be a bad thing? Like, what about this in any way could be twisted to where it's a negative?
I can't wait to see how this poll shakes out.
I can't wait to read through some of these comments and see if any of them, a.k.a. Scooter, finds a way to make it negative. No, I mean, it's fun. And in a time like this where everything is so uptight and everything is so, like, America is more diverse than it ever has been, to have something like this where Trump is going in and doing something that is viewed as a little bit more fun and lighthearted.
Fun.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's really good. It's also, I mean, Pennsylvania, you know, that's a state that needs to be won, low key. For him to, I think it's strategic. I think it's smart. I think the biggest thing is it's fun.
Here is Donald Trump working the fryer, so now we can find out what it means for the people of Pennsylvania.
We got the salt on it. Never touches the human hand.
Very good.
Nice and full.
Thank you.
At the end, he's like, these need a little more salt, don't they? And the McDonald's worker goes, no, they don't. He goes, yes, they do. And then he put more salt on it. And I'm like, that resonates with a lot of voters. I also learned something from this whole experiment. And I don't know, maybe you guys know about this stuff more than I do. But at one point, the worker who is walking Donald Trump through step by step how the fries are made, he says, like, over here is where we put the no salt fries. Did you know that they have a section for no salt fries?
Yes.
I did not know that.
No. Why do you just know that as a worker?
I worked at one. Yeah. I worked at one. Not a McDonald's. I worked at I worked at a Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
But we also would separate the no salt fries. Because if you don't separate them and somebody orders fries no salt, which is happens more than you would think.
Do you ever think that you've gotten an accidental thing of no salt fries?
At McDonald's?
Anywhere.
I mean, maybe. I was like, it's 0% chance at McDonald's. But maybe, I'm trying to think. I don't know. Maybe Dairy Queen. That would be the place, probably. I feel like out of all of the quality of fast food fries, Dairy Queen might be the lowest.
Really? I like Dairy Queen fries.
Well, they're not bad.
Yeah.
They're just everything else is better.
Everything is better. So Donald Trump's going through here and he's extra salting. It's like I saw memes that are like Donald Trump indicted for 7th nugget and 6-pack. It's just like, I mean, to point out, you hit the nail on the head, Ethan. This was fun. This was not serious. This was not uptight. Is it pandering? Probably. But who, like, the people who are sitting here and taking this seriously, you're unhappy people. You're not looking for the fun in life. If Kamala Harris could do this and look like she was having fun with it, I mean, the dichotomy of a billionaire, and here's, honestly, I'm going to be honest here. The thing that sold the whole thing is Trump's white shirt and red tie.
Yeah.
And that apron that he's wearing, which is a blue apron with the McDonald's yellow straps around his neck and around his waist. But the red tie, I'm like, that apron belongs to that man. He looked great.
So I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate here. And I'm curious of your thoughts on this. Do you think that the Democratic Party would say that Kamala going on, was it Colbert? Is that where she had, or was that, who did she go on with?
Colbert.
Colbert. Would you say that her going on, having the beer, would you say that that was, she would say, or that their party would say that was their version of this?
There's a huge difference. Because what Donald Trump is doing at McDonald's is in context of all of the other things that he's doing. He could go be on an interview with any other interviewer anywhere else and be taking very serious questions, very combative questions. He can do that. And he can do this. Kamala Harris is just pandery, crack open the Miller Lite. And it was Miller on purpose, whatever the product was. It was a Wisconsin product. To do that in a way that, like, air quotes, humanizes her. That's all they're trying to do. That, forget about the substance. They've got to make her look human to the American people before you start worrying about the actual substance of Kamala Harris. This adds a new layer to Donald Trump. It's obviously, like, Playboy billionaire is where he was before he became a Republican. That's when everybody liked him. And now he's working at McDonald's. The visual is an amazing visual. Kamala Harris lies about working at McDonald's, that's the pandering. If Kamala Harris showed up and worked at a McDonald's right now, it's too late.
Yeah.
She's made the bed. She's got a lie in it. We'll get what Brad thinks about this a little later in the show, and we've got a great lineup for you. Next up, Will Chamberlain's going to talk to us about the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court rulings on the ballot, how he feels about the security and the safety of the election system. We're going to talk to him about that. We're also going to talk to him about that Elon Musk, Pennsylvania. He's like at a lottery for people who sign. It's a signing a petition for his America PAC, right?
Right, yeah.
And he's giving away $1 million to a Pennsylvania voter who signs it.
You could be Pennsylvania, Georgia, swing state. Any swing state voter that signs this
dang
position.
Dang it, Illinois.
And it's basically, all the petition says, I looked at it online. All it says is I support the First and Second Amendments.
Amen.
And
to
we'll
that.
Defend it.
Will Chamberlain will be with us when we come back. In the 1 o'clock hour, Steve Moore, we hope to connect to him, and Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg on the Annie Fry Show. We've got Ethan in and out today for Ryan Wiggins, who's taking the day off, and Brad and I will be taking you through to 3 p.m., so don't go anywhere. We got you covered here on 97.1 FM Talk. St. Louis is home for conservative talk. We'll be right back.
So I have a surprise for you, which is that we are going to be awarding $1 million to randomly to people who have signed the petition every day from now until the election.
Well, that was kind of an earth-shaking announcement from Elon Musk about giving away $1 million to people who sign his amendment. All he wants people to do is sign a document that says they support the First and Second Amendment. I would like our politicians to do that too before they're able to run for election. A lot of people are getting in a hubbub about Elon Musk's commitment here to supporting people who support the First and Second Amendment. And we're excited to bring our guest on with us. Will Chamberlain joins us once again, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. I encourage you to check him out on X at Will Chamberlain. Welcome back to the show, Will. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Annie.
So before I get to the Elon Musk part about this, I was peeping over there on your X profile, and it looks like you just voted today for Donald Trump. Is that accurate?
That is correct. In Florida, today is the first day of early voting. And so I, decided to brave. There was actually a significant line, oddly enough. The library where the voting station was totally packed.
Nice.
But I hung out for about half an hour, put my vote in. Key thing for Floridians, it's not just, you shouldn't be just voting for Trump. You should vote for Rick Scott and your Republican representative. But there's a couple of very, very key amendments you should be voting against. There's no on 3, which is the full legalization of marijuana amendment, which is just a massive handout to these businesses. And there's no on 4, which is the anti-abortion amendment. And I'm saying all this in my personal capacity also. That's an important qualifier.
Sure.
Not saying this on behalf of Article 3 Project.
Yes.
This is just me talking.
Yep, that's you. You went to the polls today, and those are the votes that you cast. I feel like the early voting thing is I feel like we're in such uncharted territories. There's not really a reference point in voting, American voting history for like, okay, in this state, the numbers look great for the early vote, the walk-in vote, the mail-in vote. There are all these different things, and every state's laws are very different. I'm just curious, from a legal standpoint, do you feel like the Republican Party has taken necessary steps to improve election and security and integrity in 2024 compared to what we've experienced in the past?
Yes, I think there's been a lot more aggressive litigation. I think both the Trump campaign and the party more generally have been a lot more aggressive about cleaning up voter rolls is one good thing, and doing other things to ensure election integrity. I'm confident that there will be, like, this is going to be a much safer and more secure election than 2020, for example. And also I think 2020 has a little bit of a one-off feel because it was mid COVID.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of new processes were put in place in states that didn't have it before. And I also am confident that there's also been a shift in Republican voter behavior. It seems pretty clear to me that a lot more Republicans are voting early, either by mail or in person, which is a good thing because it limits the extent to which Democrats can engage in election day shenanigans and sort of suppress the vote that way. That was a big part of their strategy, I believe, in Arizona, where you suddenly had places where suddenly on election day, the voting machines weren't working properly, and people were just being kind of either having to wait in line for hours or just, gave up and went home.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you avoid. If you just get your vote in, you're not there's no way you're going to get victimized by late election day shenanigans that, you know, stall you out.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And open voting now in Florida. I live in Illinois, so we've been voting for like 2 years and every week or something like that. I don't know. But here in Missouri, we're a red state. Illinois is a blue state. We're not swing states. I've heard from even people like Elon Musk, if you don't live in a swing state right now, you're pretty lucky because the inundation of political ads. I can't even imagine what it's like. Like, you probably like go into a bathroom stall in Pennsylvania and there's like a hologram of Kamala Harris being like, welcome to your bathroom. Glad you chose this one. It's super bizarre. And if you're in a swing state, you're going to be pressured everywhere you look every time you turn around. Elon Musk is focusing in on Pennsylvania. It certainly is the avenue for Donald Trump to become the next president. It definitely goes through Pennsylvania. What are your thoughts on his America PAC, this ask of people to sign this petition that says, hey, I support the First and Second Amendment, and he's kind of created a lottery out of it where he's going to give away his own money in the event that somebody signs it and becomes the lucky person?
Well, I think it's sort of indicative of Elon's understanding of how to get earned media. I think there's probably nobody better at it in the private business world, because think about it this way. Tesla doesn't advertise. It's the one car company that you never see car ads for. And yet they're one of the most popular brands in the world. He does it with his Twitter, word of mouth, but he understands like how to get attention and use his money to get attention. So he's basically circumventing the normal way of getting money through, you know, promoting your brand. Like, he's not running ads for America PAC. He's spending his money, giving it to supporters, and using that to create media that just gets him coverage.
True. That's
anyway.
A great point.
So it's pretty smart.
Yeah. I'm wondering about the there's been a lot of legislation, or not legislation, a lot of rulings, maybe some executive orders from a governor, like in the state of Virginia. And then there's court responses to those types of rulings across the country. You, Will Chamberlain, being a senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, I'm not 100% sure how much you key in on these specific cases in specific states, but where areas are you watching closely right now as we're 15 days away from the conclusion of this election, we hope, on rulings that are being made, governors who are trying to make things happen, state courts that are trying to adjust how states manage these elections. Do you still feel like there's something up in the air in any of these particular states that could help decide the election?
Not off the top of my head. I don't have, you know, I think most of those have been, at least, and also I don't think there's a huge amount of litigation going on right at this moment that's going to be impactful, right? Like, most of these issues get settled kind of months in advance, and especially since we're not repeating 2020 where you have a whole bunch of last minute rule changes. I don't see that as being a huge thing. I think it really is, you know, people need to get out and vote, right? Like,
yeah.
And don't let anybody try and demoralize you or say anything about like, oh, this, you know, we're doomed, blah, 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 because, you know, they'll just rig it. Like, no, go vote. And I think a big way that people need to think about it is like, to the extent that Democrats cheat, they can only cheat so much. Like, there are still real paper ballots out there, right? There is a limit, and there's so much history and historical numbers for various places. There's lists of how many people are registered in your given district. So it's like, there's only so much you can do. And so by going up and showing up in force, you essentially defeat the margin by which anybody could cheat and not get caught. So that's why I think, you know, whatever your worries are, go vote. We'll deal with the worries after.
So, Will, I want to talk to Will Chamberlain, the voter, once again, since you cast your ballot today in Florida. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I remember reading a tweet from you that referred to yourself as an undecided voter. And I'm like trying to remember if that was satirical or if you actually...
It was satirical. It was definitely a joke.
Okay.
Right. Because the meme is this, that if you say you're an undecided voter, your opinion matters more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
that's
like,
exactly
if you
right.
Just say, as an undecided voter, I really think that Kamala Harris screwed this up.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful way to get a lot of traction.
It's stuck in my head.
Because, you know, there are plenty of Trump supporters who got up, good for you, I'm glad to see you're on our side. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I know it's a joke.
Well, it made an impression on me.
We
put up after the vice presidential debate, CNN had this panel of seven undecided voters, and it was the funniest thing that I've ever, I was like doubled over laughing at these so-called undecided voters. And I'm like, the second I saw them, they weren't undecided. I know exactly what each of those people are doing. And, you know, I feel as though the undecided vote that does exist, if it does exist at all, is people who are trying to decide if they're going to vote. Maybe they've been disenchanted by Donald Trump. Maybe they've believed a lot of what the media said. And I feel as though a lot of people are looking at Donald Trump right now and they've at least got an eyebrow raised as to whether or not what they've been sold on for so long is actually a true and accurate assessment of who Donald Trump the man is. Your encouragement for people to show up and cast the vote, it's not so much a coronation of an individual, but the direction, the path that we have going forward in a Kamala Harris presidency versus a Donald Trump presidency are completely divergent paths. I don't even know if there's an intersection between the two of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I worked for Governor DeSantis in the primary. Like, I was on his campaign. I wasn't supporting Donald Trump in the primary. I support him now. It's not, and I don't even consider it a close question. I think that, you know, I see occasionally you see some like DeSantis people saying, I'm writing him in or I'm abstaining. It's like you need to make, that's a very, very, you know, whatever you know, it's your ballot. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh God, how dare you? But I think it's
you
silly.
Could.
If you're actually a conservative, like you got to understand that the red team is the conservative team. Like Democrats under Kamala Harris will do all sorts of things to make your and your family's life worse. And to thwart the achievement of any of your policy goals. And it's not, you know, the idea of hoping for something in the future that may happen if, you know, no. Like, vote Republican, period, up and down the ticket. And that's, you know, that's my personal, in my personal capacity. That's what I'd say to everybody, regardless of if you voted for Trump in the primary or not.
Yeah, I've been Team Ron DeSantis from COVID as a Midwesterner watching what he was willing to do in Florida. Literally, my husband's a school teacher. They opened Florida. I think it was on like June 3rd. They're like, forget about this. We're opening up. Florida is open for business. I live under the J.B. Pritzker rule of tyranny, and he was going to Florida when Florida was open. And I'm like, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it. We got four kids, threw the family in the car, went to Florida and lived like normal people. And it was so bizarre to do that again. And that's what really drew me into Ron DeSantis. I have no conflict supporting Donald Trump, and I cannot wait for him to win this election. I want to ask you, as somebody who worked on that DeSantis campaign, how do you feel? I'm not going to ask you specifically about the presidency, but how do you feel about Ron DeSantis's future in American conservative politics, knowing that he's termed out after this second term of governor?
I think he's still got a very viable future. I think, you know, he's still a very popular governor in state. He's still got a big national brand. And he's young. He's only in his mid-40s. So, you know, there will be opportunities for him if he wants to be a senator, you know, like this. When a Senate seat opens up, he'll be if he decides he wanted to run for that, he'll be a very formidable candidate. I can see a world where, I mean, it kind of depends on, you know, what happens in this year in terms of like where Republicans are. Because I think in a world where Trump wins, I think J.D. Vance is obviously in the in the catbird seat or, you know, in the driver's seat for 28. But I think he's just going to be a formidable candidate for president down the line. I mean, you know, when will he be 65? 17 years from now? That's a long time.
A few cycles.
And that would be your sort of 65 would be your default like average presidential election age. So he's got a lot of time and he's very smart, very capable. The governance of Florida has been top notch. I mean, he's also transformed this into a red state. Like, you know, 8 years ago, this was a swing state that Trump won by 0.5%. DeSantis himself only won his own race by 0.5%. You know, 6 years on, he won by 20. And most people don't think Florida will be even competitive.
Yeah.
So he's done a really, really good job here, both for Floridians and for the Republican Party more generally. And I think he's got a very bright future ahead of him.
I agree. And I think it's such a key to realize how strong the Republican Party is and diverse in you know, way of thinking in conservative politics, Republican politics, whatever that may be, knowing that Donald Trump has been supported by Ron DeSantis since Ron DeSantis has dropped out. For anybody who's listening right now and they're holding their nose on Trump because they liked somebody else, go vote. Just go vote for Trump. You'll be setting the party up for success for years to come. Will Chamberlain, thank you for the time today. We're always grateful for you. Thank you for casting your vote today, and we look forward to getting some results here in a few weeks.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Annie.
Thank you so much. It's good to talk to you. Will Chamberlain, the senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. You can find him on X at Will Chamberlain, or go to article3project.org and get involved in the process of supporting people who support your freedoms and your rights and liberties here as Americans. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ethan in for Wiggins America. And last time I think we established an Ethan Wiggins America is taller and handsomer than the... I think that's what Ethan said. Better looking and younger and taller. I don't know. Maybe if we pressure Wiggins like this, he'll stop taking days off. Maybe. Maybe not. We'll be right back.
Wiggins! Oh! Monday Roundup! Yeehaw! This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Ethan, would you say that the Ethan Wiggins America is wilder or more tame than the Wiggins America version of the wildest ride in the wilderness?
Oh, it's definitely more tame.
Okay.
There's
good.
I mean, there is no predictability when it comes to Ryan Wiggins.
It's and part of his charm.
Yes, 100%. Yes. He always keeps you on your toes. And he also continues to not be helpful for me at all when it comes to prepping for Wiggins America.
What's his advice to you?
Well, this morning I texted him, "Where do you usually find your stories for Monday Roundup?" He said,
"The internet?
No particular place, just random stuff."
He doesn't want you to succeed.
Clearly.
Yeah.
What did he fail forward and onward or something like that?
That was his advice, right?
I need to get that quote.
His is like, if you're going to fail, fail big.
Stitch it on a pillow for him or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Monday Roundup time.
You keep each other on your toes. So that's good for
that
the
show. We do. Well, as he also described a couple of weeks ago, you know, when he defined our relationship with the word cute. And that was it. So that's Wiggins for you. So there was quite a few interesting things that happened this weekend. A couple of sports things. We'll mix those in. I'm going to start off with a sports story.
Is this
a sports story?
No, is this a sports segment?
No, not entirely. There's a couple of things, but we're going to mix a couple of things in.
Just do some fast food, too.
The
whole show today is about fast food.
You stole my fast food.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That's right. I did.
So last night, the most important championship in sports concluded. The WNBA Finals, Annie.
Yeah.
The New York Liberty win in five games, and I was like, what can I find that's interesting about the WNBA Finals? And
I don't know. She's golfing right now. Go on.
USA Today really came up clutch for me. So they put out this article of season winners and losers. And the winners were like, you know, there was a lot of new fans. It was a really good year for the WNBA. Caitlin Clark put them on their back.
You can't even quantify exponentially. Well, I guess you could, because there are dollars attached to each year. But the relevance of the WNBA this year because of Caitlin Clark, it's unbelievable. I don't know if any one person has had a percentage effect on something the way Caitlin Clark has. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe, whatever. Yes, but the system that they played in was already huge.
You could argue that ever since like the 98 home run race, honestly, like no single player has had more of an impact on reviving the sport.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say reviving the WNBA. I played basketball through my senior year of basketball. I was good. I was not great. I'm not bad, but I cared deeply about it. And I think the WNBA's original year, do you guys know that off the start? The WA began in 1997. So I graduated eighth grade in 1998. So the WNBA was a fresh thing for me we got fourth place at state in eighth grade on my basketball team. We had a very good basketball team. I think we were 10 and 15 my senior year as a varsity player or whatever. But I cared deeply. It was probably one of the greatest parts of my secular identity. And I couldn't have named any of the WNBA, certainly players. I don't think I could have named the teams. Like, I'm the one who's supposed to care. I've never cared until this year.
I'm a sports guy, and I couldn't have until a couple of years ago named a couple of them.
Caitlin Clark changed it all.
So where this article gets really entertaining is where we get to the losers column. And I'm just going to go ahead and read a couple of these. The first one is other new fans. The only upside to the season ending is we no longer have to hear or see the trash humans who used Caitlin Clark as an excuse to direct racist and homophobic abuse at other players.
This is from USA Today?
Yes. The W is not desperate enough that it needs these folks in its fan base, and league officials now have 6 months to figure out a way to weed them out.
The people who used Caitlin Clark to exact racism?
I guess to the other players.
I wonder what, who's the author? Can you, do you know, I'd like to out this person's name publicly.
Let's take a look. For our Nancy Armour and Lindsay Schnell.
Unhappy people need people to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. The second one is titled HBO. How has the cable giant not yet committed to Hard Knocks WNBA? And what do we have to do to get
Hard
them there?
Hard Knocks WNBA is the games.
So now, we're comparing the National Football League to the WNBA for having Hard Knocks NFL, where they follow a team around during the off season every single year, and it's a very successful show. But slow your roll now. You had a good year, but you're nowhere near the National Football League.
If this person thinks that it should be done, they should invest in it.
I agree with that.
You think it's a smart investment? Do it.
I completely agree. And the
risk is on you.
The last comment is us, because us fans have to go a whole 6 months without watching high quality basketball. And I don't know if I would say it's there yet.
Man, there's a little bit of sarcasm in that.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Okay. This next one is not sports related. So for those of you out there listening saying all I talk about is sports, this is for you guys. Cuddle time capped. New Zealand airport puts a 3-minute limit on goodbye hugs.
Are we paying someone to time this?
I don't know. It doesn't say in this article specifically, but what I can say...
New Zealand?
New Zealand. What I can say is this would be a serious problem in the Midwest. Lambert Airport, I mean, this would never work.
Where do you hug?
So
there's no space to hug. You've got to go through security.
Their point is that when you're dropping off in the departures area...
Oh, in traffic.
Yeah, they're saying that it's holding up traffic and that, you know, people are averaging, you know, staying there for 10, 15, 20 minutes.
I probably don't disagree with this.
So it's hard to say goodbye, so make it quick. 3 minutes max is what they're saying. And there's actually been a little bit of debate over this in New Zealand. People are unhappy with this, but I think that this makes a lot of sense. But like I said... Yeah. I don't know if this would work in the Midwest.
I'm with you, Ethan. I think that if you want to say a longer goodbye, the option is always there to go park your car and walk your person to the terminal and give them the big, long goodbye hug that you want.
And that's exactly...
Don't hold up traffic. There's other people doing their thing.
That's exactly what they said. They have, they even designated, like, you know, car park for longer windows of saying goodbye. So it's not like they're just saying, like, that sucks.
3 minutes for everybody.
3 minutes
bad.
And you're out of here. But, like, why not just do that at home, you know? A couple more here before we get... Are we at 5650?
Is that 56.
Okay. Yep. Did you guys know that the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show was this past weekend?
Yeah.
No.
Did you happen to know that we, for the first time ever, had transgender models in it?
Yeah.
No.
Valentina Sampaio and Alex Consani were the first transgender models to ever appear in the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show. And I feel like that's probably one that some people are going to have mixed thoughts on.
Probably.
But, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting. And then to wrap up here, Dodgers-Yankees World Series coming up.
Barf.
You know, it is a little bit gross to see two huge teams like this in the World Series. But
and by huge, you mean?
The top markets.
Payroll.
And yes, payroll. They spend a lot of money, but I think that this is also going to be very good for viewership in baseball, so I think there is going to be positives. It's also going to be a very entertaining series. Shohei Ohtani is he's the most exciting player in baseball.
Barf!
Come on, get out
no!
of here. Ohtani
you will
versus
not
Judge,
be
it's
saying
be
positive things about Yankees Dodgers on this show.
It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
On Mark Reardon's show. Let him have it. No, I won't be watching an inch of that. I'm happy for Tommy Edman, though.
NLCS MVP.
MVP, yeah. Steve Moore, when we come back, don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.